Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling to that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we've got Survival Day coming up, and this space that we live in and we work and operate in, we're talking about closing the gaps, we're talking about the changing of the National Anthem and Constitution, and also the date, Survival Day. It's Thorn and Outsiders and First Nation people. We're going to catch up with a Delhi brother based up there in Darwin. That's Thomas Mayer on the line. Thomas, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, my brother, Trendy Trev. Good to be here.
My brother, good to hear from you too. Brother, just let the mob know who your mob were you from, Tom?
Yeah, Torres Strait Islander, but I'm born and bred on Larrakia country, so I'm coming to you from Darwin today.
All right, beautiful. Now, background, Wharfie, weren't you, brother?
Yeah, I was a Wharfie for a long time here on the docks in Darwin, so I met lots of colourful comrades during that time and learned a lot about the power of unity.
Fantastic. Ain't that the truth, brother? And look, we needed unity, especially at the Uluru Statement, the National Constitutional Convention, which you were a part of and spokesperson for Darwin. Is that right, brother?
Yeah. I was elected out of the Darwin Dialogue here, and I went to Uluru with a lot of hope, you know, because I understand the power of unity, and I went there with a great hope that we could reach a consensus, you know, on how to move forward. And we did that, and, you know, we called for a constitutionally enshrined voice and a Makarrata Commission for truth-telling and treaty-making.
So there it is, and here it's still in the so-called in-tray, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, well, the government pretty much said no straight away. Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister at the time, told a whole lot of lies, and but us mob, we've had plenty of statements and petitions
exactly.
Over the years.
We're used to it.
You know, the Barunga Statement, the Larrakia petition to the Queen that happened here on this country in 1972, the Carla Bark petitions, but we didn't take, you know, they've rejected all of those.
Sure.
But we've learned the lessons, and the Uluru Statement was written to the Australian people as an invitation, and we just haven't taken no for an answer from,
exactly,
you know, a Prime Minister. We want the government to put it to the people to decide.
Exactly. Resilient people we are, and the fight is still on. So my conversation also with you today is about Survival Day. That's up and coming. What's your thoughts there and where we're sitting regarding Survival Day?
Oh, brother, you know, I just saw the Prime Minister this morning make comments about saying some really ignorant stuff, you know, about that the people that came on the 12 ships, even though it was 11, so he got that wrong historically.
Yes.
You know, back when the British arrived and started invading these lands, he reckons that they had a hard day too. And I was thinking, geez, you know, how ignorant.
Exactly, to make such a statement to what has happened to our people thereafter, the Waisals.
Yeah, he reckons the sailors on those ships had a hard day as well. I mean, how about the genocide and the,
yes,
you know, forced assimilation and all the cruelty against our people for over 200 years? You know, it's just an ignorant comment.
And look, and there it lies, you know, and the most common statement we have or feedback we get from, you know, non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, if not government, you know, build a bridge, get over it.
Yeah, well, I think Australians are starting to change, though. You know, I mean, we see big mob white fellow allies marching with us,
yes,
for Black Lives Matter and, you know, Invasion Day now. I think the Prime Minister's out of touch with the sentiment of the people, you know, and that's why I think we can win a referendum that'll give us the constitutional rights to organise our own political representation and always have a say on the things that affect us.
And look, we talk about the National Anthem. They changed one word, one, from young to one. It took them 230-odd years to change that one word. So do we have to wait for 230 years by 45 words? I mean, like, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, people say it's a step in the right direction. I don't think it is. I don't think it changes anything. It's symbolism at its worst. And I say it's at its worst because, you know, like what blackfellas were consulted about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is why the Uluru Statement calls for a voice, a representative body. I mean, they need to establish this representative body so we can have that discussion about what the anthem should be, how it should be changed. And that goes to the 26th January as well. I mean, we're wasting our time putting our opinions up, all the time about what date it should be, because until we establish a First Nations voice so that we can reach a consensus among our own people about what date we should celebrate, if at all, then, you know, we can't have that conversation. So, you know,
Falls on deaf ears, doesn't it? Without that voice, it falls on deaf ears. We're just, shooting in the wind, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right, you know, and I understand that coming from a union background too, you know, like when you're a lot of people, unless you set up a structure that where we know who speaks for us and we can hold those representatives to account.
Yes.
You don't have a very coherent voice at all, you know. You're almost whispering into the wind.
Exactly.
Instead of, focusing our voice, and putting that spear in the heart of where it needs to be.
Well, there it is, and we're putting it out there, and we do need a voice. And look, our conversation is strong here on National Talk Black, which goes across the country in NERS and all our outlets. We use whatever means necessary to put our point across. Thomas, I want to thank you very much for joining us, my brother. And look, all the best to you and your team, your family, and stay safe, and we'll be in touch, my brother.
Well, that's all, brother. Thank you.
That's all. Yawa. A beautiful yarn there, Thomas Mayer, and his input in regarding Survival Day. He was elected from the Darwin Constitutional Dialogue to go to the culmination of 13 regional constitution dialogues at the Uluru National Constitutional Convention back there in Alice Springs. And the Uluru Statement process proposes that a referendum is held constitutionally enshrined a First Nations voice, and that a Makarrata commission is established to supervise a process of agreement making or treaty making and truth telling about Australia's history. So he was the spokesperson from Darwin, and look, that's what it's all about, and here's his opinion on the Survival Day, 26th of January. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
When the Sarban sails away, I'll be thinking of you every night and every day, dear. You'll be in my memory, though it's only just a short trip that we are to do. Even out on the reef still, I'll be thinking of you. And when the troca season's over and our sails are full of wind, then the Sarban will sail, dear, safely back again to you. And I hope you will be waiting just the way you always do, for us Trocas boys are ready to be welcome home again. After spending time with families, we must all say goodbye, for the Sarban must sail, dear, back again out to the reefs. While they're out on the reefs, dear, I'll be thinking of you. When our yearly work is over, then we'll sail back home to you.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7.
I remember the day. A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say. We're calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the Foreign Minister of SYG, the Sovereign Yidinji Government, and just talk about how the SYG, Sovereign Yidinji Government, is operating and how they're cruising in these times. I like to think a very smart operation and very robust and, how you say, doing it through the right ways in regarding government, regarding the paper trail, so to speak. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn with Murumu. A very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Very, very well. Praise be to the Creator. And, very, very happy to be alive and doing the work, the charity, and all that kind of wonderful things.
Thank you very much, my brother. So for all our brothers and sisters out there, we're 250-odd tribal people operating on the Big Island. The Yidinji government, Sovereign Yidinji government, just give a description on what you guys do and how you operate on your deadly country.
Well, it was, before I got involved, there was a number of people from the Yidinji Society, the men and women that have been calling this place for home for a very long time. So it was their wish to create an official mouthpiece for the Yidinji Nation. We know that the Commonwealth of Australia is the official mouthpiece for Australia, and so I think there was an understanding there that while there were they wanted things to change quickly, they couldn't do it through the Commonwealth of Australia. They had to go through their tribe, their laws, and their government, which exists now. And I know that a lot of focus will be on January 26, but January 7 is the national day for the Yidinji Nation. On that day, in 2013, I believe, a number of men and women were meeting on the Atherton Tablelands, which is described as the Atherton Tablelands, and they decided to form a government. And, you know, that was through Gundajarabai of Yalmabara, and his family are very much part of the Sovereign Yidinji government today. They're actively a couple of government ministers, I think two or three. So it's that vision of not only him but the other elders that have wanted to do this in a way that is quite simple, really, but more importantly, peaceful and upholding the law.
So when we're talking government, we are talking about, I think the description with the United Nations is about all First Nation people on the planet have a right to operate operate a government on their country. And that's what Yidinji government is doing, sovereign?
Yeah, I think that's it's quite clear. It's very important to distinguish that the Sovereign Yidinji government does not make it very clear represent tribal law. Tribal law is a very, very powerful authority that we don't interfere with. The tribal law is the law that currently resides here now. However, the Sovereign Yidinji government is all about the written law. So if you can imagine the codification of those laws, we might have laws, for example, about murder. We certainly do under tribal law, and some of those things can be very, very... they can result in death in terms of punishments or spearings or banishment. But the Sovereign Yidinji government is about writing the laws. So rather than people getting speared and killed under the written law, it might be life imprisonment, it could be 25 years imprisonment, those types of things now that we're dealing with. So it's not tribal law, but it's codifying the written law so that the Yidinji citizen or person can integrate with the rest of the UN system. mm-hmm. That currently reside. So, you know, most people will agree that to do 60 kilometres in a 60 zone is good. And so we're not saying that Yidinji are extra special. By all means, they're not, because under the Creator, we're all equal. But the business of government is very important, and that's what the Yidinji Nation is doing. It's actually governing itself through this paper government model. Mm. So, and that's been seen around the world now. It becomes official because we have an office, basically.
Sure. So I did, of course, introduce you to the conversation as the foreign minister of Yidinji government. So the government is made up of ministers. Just explain that to our listeners there, brother.
Yeah, no, well, there are a number of people that who wanted to hold office. We have a minister, the chief minister. We have foreign affairs, trade. We have communications. We have attorney general. We have minister for the education, environment, employment and training. So what we're doing is we're building the world that the rest of the UN system have to sort of tell it what to do, instruct it. Mm. By all means, we're not here to destroy the Commonwealth of Australia or the law, or we're just come to fulfil it, really. We don't have an issue with anyone living on this land here,
mm.
Whether they're different tribal people or different people from different continents. It's the piece of paper that they're carrying in their pocket hasn't got the happy smiley stamp on it. Mm-hmm. Not only from Yidinji, but from all the other tribes that exist here. So the other tribes can conduct their business, if they so choose, if they see value in it, where they're the ones actually granting the visas and signing off on things to say, you know what, Australia, you can be here through a treaty, but here are the terms and conditions that we're laying down.
Mm-hmm.
This is our government policy on housing. This is our government policy on fishing and hunting or whatever it is. And Australia then will translate that and make that happen in its world.
So the Australian government, the Commonwealth government, do not have a treaty with the Yidinji people. So Yidinji people are just operating their government as they see fit, a peaceful way. Are we talking about money exchange there?
Well, there's possibilities for that, and that's what a treaty is all about. So each nation could do what Yidinji is doing here. We're not telling what other nations should do, but we share what we do here.
Okay.
Out of love and interest of peace and security. So the Yidinji Nation is on paper as a bank, for example. We have a form of money. You know, before it was Binala, a seashell, but now it's the SYD, the SYD, the Sovereign Yidinji Dollar. Through a treaty, there might be some sort of mechanism that would allow the Yidinji Nation to monetize its currency. We don't worship money. We're not. We don't treat it like an idol. But we would say that we would use the money to improve hospitals or sporting stadia, for example, a new stadium or an NRL franchise. Maybe you know who knows. These things are the possibilities in the future, right?
Yes.
But any man and woman that resides on the Yidinji territory. Yidinji has a responsibility to look after them, and so we would say, well, that money is not for us, but we want to use it to improve the lives of others.
Okay.
And that's the main message here. We're not here to kick people out of the country and to deport them back to England. You know, you hear
or
all
that take their houses from them or take their buildings and businesses from them.
Absolutely not. And you know, I think people they get a bit frightened there, but
a bit of fear there.
Yeah, but we've been absolutely consistent in saying that we don't want any money for it.
Well,
and that's the beauty about it. You know, when people are a bit more happy to talk about things when you don't want something from them.
Sure.
Hmm.
So, but they must come to the table with curiosity.
You know, yes.
To work at and fear factor in the sense of, well, who are you? What is your entity? How will that affect me? What are you going to take off me?
Yes.
If my government has not got, as in Commonwealth government, has not got a treaty with you, your government, what do you want from us? There's a fear factor, unknown.
Yes, and that's what this is all about. There's this uncomfortable awkwardness that comes around every January where, you know, it's Australians are saying they don't have a treaty, that it's the only Commonwealth country without a treaty with its first peoples, for example. You know, Australia is the one that signed the United Nations declarations on the rights of Indigenous peoples. It said there, and it backed that Yidinji can set up its government.
And that's what you've done.
We said, yeah, no worries. We already knew that.
Yes.
But we're just...
Now you're just acting on it.
We're helping Australia tick off all its international obligations.
Okay.
And we're encouraging others to do that. Now, whether they do that or not, that's up to them. Okay. We're not going to interfere with anyone's sovereignty. Could be Yalanji or you know, whoever it is, maybe, you know, Arunda or all the other different tribal nations. If they choose to take a certain action, then we mightn't agree with it, but at the end of the day, that's not our business.
Thank you.
And they may want financial settlement, or they may want to remove people off their territory.
So the Commonwealth government, if they are looking at a treaty, they've got to look at 250 different treaties with the different tribal people on the tribal lands.
Well, I think that would be in the best interest. For example, we have to do that as Yidinji. Yeah. We have to have a treaty with Kukuyalanji. We have to have a treaty. We have certainly have a memorandum of understandings with a number of different tribes,
mm-hmm.
Not only on this continent, but overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Yidinji's government is all about. It's about, on paper, formalising relationships. So we have, with the Hapu sovereign government of to Ika Maui, which is a government that's newly formed that people would describe as New Zealand. They're not even Maoris. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm saying. There's governments all around the world that are coming back in their true and correct capacity,
yes.
That the Yidinji Nation is saying, look, we want to have treaties with you. We want our police to have a relationship with your police, for example, not only with the Queensland Police Service and the Commonwealth, the federal
but
police.
But the Yidinji government is now operating to its full capacity, you could say, as a government, and engaging and opening up conversations to other governments of the world, is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we're not here... We're not going out of our way to destroy the Commonwealth of Australia. In fact, we're saying we want to protect the Commonwealth of Australia. In 2015, we passed legislation in the Parliament to... we all agreed as the Yidinji Nation and through the government that the Yidinji Nation, using its sovereignty, is here to protect the Commonwealth of Australia. So that's protecting all the businesses, all the defence forces, the courts, the Queen of Australia, the parliaments, all those things that are... people know as Australian, we want to look after that. We're not wanting to destroy that, right?
Okay. So the Commonwealth of Australia, the government of Australia, they are aware, have they met with you, the sovereign Yidinji government? They're aware of what you're doing and how you're operating?
Yeah, we've had the Prime Minister come up here in recent times to receive a welcome to country document, which is basically
a visa,
an entry visa from our
entry visa into the country. Beautiful.
So, I mean, you know, those things.
Did he receive it? Did he take it off you?
Why wouldn't you? Why would you reject it if you don't have a treaty or permission to be with someone?
Okay.
So that's what we're saying. We're just conducting business our way. We don't speak for anyone else.
Yes. Okay.
We can't. We can't.
Yeah.
It really is important.
That's right. Unless the black fellow way, another man country.
That's right.
As we operate.
Yeah, and you know, and. We understand that there's, you know, certain groups who lay claim to this area as well, and we respect that.
Mm.
You know, we certainly do. We're not here to even tell them what to do.
Sure.
We can't do that. That doesn't go with us. But, you know, we're hoping that certain peoples or families, are happy to work with that in the future. But this is where, you know, peace and love really wins every time.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's not coming up with a hateful message or, you know, we want more money than you or, you know, we're going to do this and that. It really is about looking after one another. And, you know, as a follower of Christ, you know, I believe in loving someone as you love yourself and loving your neighbour, you know.
Yes. Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor and Mike here. National Talk Black having a daily yarn with Murumu, the Foreign Minister for the Sovereign Yidinji Government, and just talk about the space that he is working in and the government, legit government, operating their business on their own country using the paper trail like all governments do. Yeah, so peaceful movement. I'm picking up with Yidinji sovereign Yidinji government. To me, you're operating due diligence as a government in the most peaceful way, but doing what all governments do and got the right to do so.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, and I think we encourage everyone to do it. You know, I've never been to university, for example. I've never studied law. But we encourage people to have a go because, you know, we don't know everything. And that's you know, I think that's really important to understand if people are thinking about setting up their own governments and things like that. You know, as Bumi always says, you know, your ancestors walked this land, this is your place. Or, you know, so have the confidence to go forth and do these things.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I think that's a very, very important message for people.
Well, that is the right of Indigenous people, First Nation people across the globe.
Yes.
To operate.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, people can participate in the Commonwealth of Australia. But as an Indigenous Australian, then you have the same rights as a Chinese Australian or a Russian Australian, a German Australian. But here, as a man and woman, you can go back to your tribal law to create this other government, you know, that can help the Commonwealth of Australia really settle the past and secure the future.
Well, all First Nations people of this country, the Big Island, Australia, have got the right to has got the right to operate their sovereign government because there's no treaty with the First Nation people, is that right?
Yeah, and, well, you know, it's always been that way. When we say government, to say that there wasn't a government here, like pre-1770, would be wrong because, you know, the government was so strong that it didn't need to be written down because it was so simple.
Yes.
We didn't have prisons and banks and, you know, all these other stuff, you know, military conquests and things like that on a giant level. I'm talking about there were obviously those things that took place, but the government is strong here. What was missing was the office. So when Captain Cook came here, or Lieutenant Cook, he came as an officer.
He did.
So the Crown had an office, but the tribes who owned the place didn't have an office, so they couldn't do any treaties then.
Conversations and such.
Yeah,
so they used bullets, guns.
Yeah, so for example, in New Zealand, they had the Treaty of Waitangi, where those things were written down. So that's the treaty, right?
That's the treaty, exactly.
So there's now Yidinji has its official office, it has its dominions, eminence, and imperiums, which in Latin means you have the right to property, the power to create law, and to assert that, you know. So that's what I'm saying. All those things, the Crown said that Yidinji have it. The Crown said that Yidinji owned the land pursuant to their law.
Yeah.
But Yidinji don't own the law, don't own the land if they're operating inside of Australia. So it needs to make this connection.
Yes.
And that's where we're helping out.
Or separation.
Whatever it is. You know, we all want to look after each other. So, you know, that's the intention behind the behind the SYG.
Okay. So here we are about to look at 26 January 2021, so-called Australia Day. So what's the stance for the Sovereign Yidinji government in regarding Australia Day?
Not interested in it. We're not interested in changing the date. We don't want seats in an Australian parliament. We're not wanting a voice to the Australian parliament. The Yidinji government is the Yidinji voice for the world. So if China wants to hear from Yidinji, they're not going to go to Australia to talk about it. They come straight to us.
So Yidinji's government is open for business?
100%. But all those UN member states, we would say, no, our ideal preference would you go through Australia as our agent. But at this current point of time, the interview, there is no treaty for Australia to be the official agent. So that we're trying to fix that. Now, what I'm said there before is that each tribe can create its government, but it has to be done in the right way. If you're going about it the wrong way, then chances are it's not going to be successful.
Yes.
It's got to be with that, like I said, that love and approach to things. And that'll work.
So now I notice here in your office here at the Sovereign Yidinji Government, here on Yidinji country, you've had a coat of arms, you've got ministers, here your office sits in the physical sense, and you've got your letterheads, you've got stamps, you're operating as an office, as a government. Like I said, the Yidinji government is open for business.
Yeah, it's simple. If any foreign government can do it, you can.
Yes.
But do it in a way that doesn't confuse the two worlds. So the two worlds here may be Australia and Yidinji. But Yidinji in this office and in this place here is always going to be Yidinji. So when we send an official letter,
yes,
we have the official Yidinji stamps.
Yes.
Because we created a law that enabled it. So even with the identification for the government ministers, we created a law for that. Okay, so you can't just go and make stuff up. There's got to be a process, and we have that process in place.
You've done the process. You know the process.
We do, and that's it's got to be, and we have a paper trail of all that.
Yes.
When people say, "Oh, it's just you doing it," I said, "Well, fair enough. That's your opinion. Fair enough." But if you're going to look at the people that gave Murumu the authority to speak for Yidinji, I can show you the documents that were signed in 2013 or thereabouts.
Yes.
With all those names on it.
Exactly.
From
paper
all
trail.
The all
paper
the different trail. Clan groups.
Paper trail.
100%, because otherwise I'm making stuff up and it's my word versus somebody else.
Mm.
So this is a matter of record now. Everything that the Yidinji Nation does is official and it's on record.
Yes.
From the sovereign Yidinji government. That's what it's here for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, coming back to your question about January 26, we don't really want to interfere with the Commonwealth of Australia as it's, you know, has those discussions. That's its business. Our business is to say to Australia, if you want to be here, then you've got to come and sit at the table and here's our offer of a trusteeship or a treaty.
Sure.
You know,
beautiful.
If you want the job, fair enough. If beautiful. You don't, then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But as to, you know, what flags are flying and, you know, the Aboriginal flag is a classic one.
Mm.
It's an Australian flag.
I notice we've got the sovereign Yidinji flag
the
here,
Yidinji
flying
government
here.
Has, the Yidinji Nation has its own flag. It does,
yes.
The Aboriginal flag, the red, black and yellow, doesn't have permission to fly in our land yet.
Okay.
So it identifies a jurisdiction. That jurisdiction, and that flag was created by an Australian. And Mr. Thomas. Mr. Thomas is an Indigenous Australian. He's not Yidinji. Mm-hmm. And that person is certainly not Yidinji. But the flag was created by Guju Guju of Gimabara. The that particular person currently holds the office of Chief Minister.
Yes.
So all these things were created by the Yidinji for the Yidinji, and we don't fly the Australian flag, for example, or any of the flags.
Yes. Beautiful. It's inspiring, a peaceful movement, but the Yidinji government, sovereign as they are, operating their business, it's empowering. And to all our mob across the country, as Murumu, the foreign minister, has mentioned, this is not the only way to operate your country. This is why Yidinji is operating. And it, to me, it seems to be working, brother.
Well, I'd like to think so. But it's not because of me.
No, thank you.
Or any other single man, you know.
Mm.
You know, in the Holy Scriptures it says all things are, you know, God allows. And the Creator, who created the Yidinji Nation and the Yidinji language and everything that we see here, the rainforest and the ocean.
Of course.
You know, these things have come, you know, into fruition now. And we had that strong belief that the Creator is, you know, made us.
Powerful.
So that's what we're doing. But the Creator also, and I said, as a, from a Christian point of view, you know, Jesus is all about love.
Sure.
Not judgment and things like that. So it's in the spirit of things we do here.
So how do other First Nation people, tribal people,
yes.
Get in touch with you, have your web page, it's supposed to use the technology as a sovereign Yidinji government. How do people get in touch with the
all technology is owned by the tribes.
Thank
all
you.
Things.
Yes.
The spectrum, the air, the airspace, the whole lot. And yeah, so basically you can go via the website, which is yidinji.org, yidindji.org, or you can give us a call here on the office number, which is 07-4211-4227.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Nice sharing with you, Murumu. All the best to you. We'll be in touch, my brother. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you.
A beautiful yarn there with the Foreign Minister of SYG, Sovereign Yidinji Government, and a conversation about how they're operating on their country, and the Sovereign Yidinji Government is open for business, as he mentioned. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416.
Ula ula, ula eh, pie, pie. Mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbra Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, you mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Noongar Man, all the way from WA. Merv E's on the line. A very good morning, my brother, and Happy New Year to you.
Hi, good morning, my brother, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my brother. So just touching base with you, our first yarn for 2021. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a Willaman Menang Noongar from the southwest of WA, Albany Way. Yeah, brother.
And to Delhi, my brother. Now, here we are, Eve out before Australia Day, Invasion Day, Survival Day. Not a good day for First Nation people to celebrate. A lot of people think we should celebrate it as one. But what's your take on Australia Day, Survival Day, Invasion Day, brother?
My brother, a lot of people say that we whinge and that a lot about it. But we will never forget about what happened to our whole people and you know, our ancestors, and upon the arrival of the big ships, what they had actually did to our people. You know, it's something that it will remain in us, in our hearts and minds forever. The genocide of our people, massacre, rape and torture of our people. And it's real, and it's you know, the genocide continues, but it's more legalised today.
Well, exactly. And then if you look at what our PM Scott Morrison says, ScoMo, he talked about it was a hard day as well for when the 12 boats came over to Australia. Apparently it was 11, but they had a hard day that day as well in regard to the vessels they travelled in on. I mean, how's that for respect and admiration or thoughts going out to First Nation people of this country?
What a new the Prime Minister is insulting our people by saying that.
Yeah. There you go. Young one upset there, brother.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sorry,
it's a total insult to our people, what ScoMo has said there.
And your young one sounds like not impressed with what ScoMo said.
No, he's not impressed at all. it's an insult to what happened to our old people and, you know, our ancestors, the rape, murder and torture of our people. It's an insult, and he feels sorry for the people on the ships. What about what they did once they got inland, on the land, what they did to our people?
Well, he came back saying, Mr. Morrison came back saying, Brandon, it's false to assume he was comparing the two, but those words were, you know, harsh words, and thinking of how they travelled on a boat and the conditions they travelled in to what happened to our people here on the mainland.
Yeah, well, no one asked them to come on their boats and come onto our lands in the first place. It was a choice they made, and you know, it was a choice of their own. Mm. But their intentions were bad.
Well, exactly. And on the boats was captains of the boat, skippers of the boat, officers for the English government. But when they came here, like I said, that's why there was no treaty done, because they didn't have officers to talk to, you know?
No, well, they didn't abide nothing that Queen Victoria told them to when they come to this country, and to respect and treat our people right. Mm. They came here and pretended no one was here and just tried to clear our people, mass genocide and, you know, the culling of our people and that, to say that this land was terra nullis.
And wasn't the case,
that
brother.
That in itself is criminal. Their criminal intent was totally felt by our people, and that the intent was what they came here with, the full intentions of taking control of the land.
Exactly, brother. So here we are celebrating so-called Australia Day, Invasion Day, Survival Day. So what's your thought about Invasion Day, my brother? Should we change the date? Should we change the date?
You know, we should never... of course, my brother, we don't celebrate on a date of genocide of our people. Mm. You know, it should be called Survival Day.
Sure.
For the people for the traditional owners and the ancestors that was massacred here, and for us to still be here, it should be called Survival Day and a national holiday for it.
So all we're saying as First Nation people is just pick another day that we can all celebrate as one, as Australians, yeah?
Well, pick another day, my brother, but they don't want to let go of what they think they own and belong. Mm. Their existence means more than what our people, obviously, to these people, especially government.
So would you be happier if it was another day, a day we can all choose and find that it is a day of celebration for black and white?
Oh, my brother, Australia Day. Australia Day. When's it going to be Aboriginal Day?
Mm. So you would look at Australia Day as a white day and not Australian Day for all?
That's a white day. It's not a day for all, brother. Mm. If they want the Australia Day, yes, set it on another date, but also have a First Nations People Day.
So what day would you look at, my brother?
What for them?
No, for you. What day would you think be a great day for all Australians to celebrate? New Year's Day?
First of January, you're
First
right.
of January, New Year's Day, yeah. All right.
Yes, brother, yes.
Yeah. Well, we all celebrate New Year's Day, don't we? Welcome a new year, say goodbye to an old year, and that could be a day of celebration for all Australians, yeah? Together.
For all Australians, yes, my brother.
All right. Beautiful, brother. Well, it's good to hear your words, my brother, and strong black activist you are, fighting for our mob and doing your bit there in WA for your mob as well, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Much love and much respect, and have a happy new year, you and your family, Trev.
Yeah, you too, Merv. Thank you very much, Cass. Take care.
Cheers.
There it is. That's Merv Ease, Noongar man, WA, and talking about his thoughts regarding Survival Day, Invasion Day. He highly thinks that it should be just another day, you know, a day that we can celebrate together. And 26th of January is not a good day as far as he's concerned. It's still Invasion Day, Survival Day, and celebrating the day that we lost our lands, so to speak, and our mob was killed, and there was no terra nullis going on here. So that's his statement there. So we should be picking a day. He suggested January 1. Tell us your thoughts. Are we just making a mountain out of a molehill? We need to build a bridge, get over it. Tell us your thoughts here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
tell you about the past, the day that they all celebrating now. It was 1788 when the first boat came, claimed the land, tried to take us all away. But I'm sorry to say, but we're here to stay. I thank the Lord that we're here today. On Survivor's Day, on Survivor's Day.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
It's my fault on deaf ears because we're accustomed to it. Another deaf here in custody, nothing to it. But it's murder coming out, it's total truth. Go and have a look at what they did to Miss Jew. We said he know 12 that a change is gonna come. 5 years later, I think they're crossing over Jew. Tell you what I'ma do, I'ma steal the endeavor. Give him Armageddon and I'ma tell him get over it. Now who lining up for them benefits? My people died, now who benefits? I might burn a flag for the hell of it. I've been through hell and back, I'm in my element. Talk about Anzacs, but ignore what's relevant. Push out the blacks, leave them all in the deficit. I'm trying to live, but there's too much death in it.
Murder, murder, murder they drew. Black blood, white page in the burner for who? Never converted, so my verse is always versing with you. Mission for the prison, living with the blackest of views. On January 26, I'm pulling up with the embassy on my 72-ish. My summary could book some. Hope my deep change what's done, it's all a shook one. All they took from, all the crooks run. Captain Cook dead, who I am, mistook one. I am the dry land and the lap-lap. Demand the man to stand face to black facts. Fade the black tracks, make the whack lacks. They celebrating for a nation without back. Sick of us waiting for reparation. We pace an invasion and stolen children keep a country so complacent.
Some say what's in a day. Some say what's in a name. Australia Day, Invasion Day. Homie, that's one and the same. And I ain't pointing no fingers. I ain't throwing no blame. Just saying that we can do better. You know that it's time for a change.
Annual black family at the march. While my white fam celebrate on the charge. Got the J's on the tunes. Holidays and excuse. Barbecuing and booze. Patriots coming through. Do I start the convo? Or will it kill the mood? The flag and the date. Who does it include? Separating us like a Hogwarts hat. We need action, not magic sign. Serious black.
It started on the 26th. See, we all a bunch of immigrants. But if you're African, Arab, Asian, and Indian, they say you gotta join the party to be a citizen. And carry the legacy of invasion. Man, I ain't celebrating. There's no justification or persuasion other than understand a date needs changing.
So we say we think for, but we choose to back the dudes rapping King George and the Union Jack. We're so used to distorting the truth and fact and beginning our story with a blue flag. If you put a few snags and a goon sack in them, then everybody loves their opinion. But when your brothers and sisters saying something's amiss, there's no ifs, no buts, just listen.
Why not break into your neighbor's house and wait on his couch?
and make a cup of tea and watch the telly while he's out and see how that goes down. See how that goes down.
Kiss the scars of our black history's past. Word to the warriors, bless their resistant hearts. Jan 26, white man missed his mark. Check it, I am not a fan of it. In fact, I will not stand for it. Cause on this day, one love got ripped apart, dismantled, then put on display.
They love it when I talk about my pain. Hate it when a brother see change. Change your day, I'd rather change the game. Zane, it's changed since the day they came. Black lives turn to black matter. Clap six, clap to the rhythm of a cock back hammer clap bang. Here go another officer, locking up another one of us like a popular fun thing to do. Another genocide on a barbecue. They say that the party is a far cry from apartheid, but they still find it hard to divide the two. When I'm an AB original, baby, wave that flag, yeah, yeah. Now eat that ish in payment, lest we forget invasion.
I remember when I was a young kid, learn how to read and write. I learned history in long division.
Yeah.
But it took a long time before I figured out that we got a history in long division. And listen, I didn't know then because they didn't teach me. If I don't know now, you know who's to blame. There isn't a reason to keep on like this. Stand up, stand choose up. A new day.
You can try to tell me about everything, everything that you thought of. I'm not changing things, but if anything, you will come out of shorter. I know this will come at a price, but it's only a small sacrifice. As soon as the others open their hearts and open their eyes, we will rise up.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.